In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Today's Gospel is another parable, a parable that our Lord Jesus Christ told a teacher of the law, somebody who really knew that he knew the Bible and he knew what he had to do in life. So he tested Jesus and he asked him, "Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "What's written in the Bible? How do you read?" Glennis, what do you want to say? No, we didn't have the same story a few Sundays ago. No, this is a different one. It's a different parable. You'll see. It's a different parable. So, in this one, this teacher of the law, you know, asked Jesus, "What should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus asked him, "What's written in the Bible? What's the Bible teaching?" He said, you know, to love. The teacher of the law answered, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "Do that, and you'll have eternal life. It's simple. Love God and the people, and you'll have eternal life." But you know, that teacher of the law wanted, you know, to show how smart he was. So he said, you know, "So who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus told the parable to tell us who our neighbor is. Who is a person? Now, when we hear this word neighbor, who do we think of?
The person next to us.
Now, who could be the person next to us?
Anyone,
exactly. That was Jesus' point. That was Jesus' point, that anyone could be our neighbor. Not only our family, not only our next door neighbor, not only people from our city, not only people of our ethnicity or race or whatever. Anybody, any human being is our neighbor.
What if you don't know them? Like a person in China or a person in...
Does that make any difference?
No, or a person in Canada.
Do you think that good man, that good Samaritan, and you know, it's very interesting because the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. And Jesus gives as a good example a Samaritan. The person who was very loving and who took care of the man who was almost dead, Jesus said that, you know, he was a Samaritan. So anyway, going back, you know, to knowing the person, do you think that this good Samaritan knew the person who fell among the thieves and who was almost dead?
No.
Do you think that he knew him?
No.
He didn't know him. He had no idea who he was, but he didn't care of what nationality that man was. He didn't care of the fact that he didn't know him. He saw somebody who was in need. And what did he do? He helped him. He washed his wounds. He poured oil and wine on his wounds. Do you have any idea why oil and wine?
Because
we get wine in communion. You know, that's a you are, yeah.
It also helps.
It helps with what? Yes. Yes.
Baptismal.
Yes, it's very true that, you know, when we are baptized, when we're baptized, we're chrismated, we're anointed with oil, and then we received Holy Communion. That's the mystical, you know, the mystical. You already know a lot of theology. But for practical reasons, why did he put wine and oil?
Because
I think
he thought it would heal him. Because wine has alcohol and alcohol disinfects. And oil heals. And then he took him to what? To where? To an inn. And he took care of him. And when he left the next day, he gave money to the innkeeper to take care of him. And when he comes back, he's gonna pay
the innkeeper, whatever he spent, you know, to take care of this man. Now, what's the meaning of this parable? What do you think? Who is the good Samaritan? God. More specifically, our Lord Jesus Christ is the good Samaritan. And who is the man who fell among the thieves and who was laying by the side of the road, almost dead, beaten by the thieves? Who are the thieves, first of all?
The demons.
Who are, and who is the man? Yonutz, what do you think? Who's the man who fell among the thieves? Who he stands for? Who he represents? Because this is a parable.
He represents God.
No. The man who fell among the thieves. The man who was beaten and almost dead. We said that the Good Samaritan stands for Jesus.
Us,
all of us. Because all of us were wounded by the devil. All of us were laying half dead by the side of the road. And nobody could help us. The Old Testament could not really help us. That's why, you know, Jesus says that a priest of the Old Testament, a priest of the temple, went by, he didn't do anything. A Levite, another servant of the temple, went by, he couldn't do anything, he didn't do anything. And then the Good Samaritan came and he took him to the inn. So, what do you think we could learn from this parable?
To help people, like when they're in need.
Very good. What else? Gladys?
Just because it might be some help, actually, like for somebody close to them, and it's always good to help.
That's a very good point, yes. Gladys said that, you know, that help could come from somebody whom we least expect, you know, to help us. But help will come nevertheless. What else could we learn from this parable?
We could learn that you need to help people regardless of their race, nationality.
Exactly. Very good, Yonutz. It doesn't matter what race or nationality they are. We help anybody. And where do we take everybody? Into the inn. Into the inn. That's what the parable says. Now, do we have an inn?
No.
What would be the inn? Luca?
The hospital.
Oh, but for us, for the Christians?
The church.
The church. The church is the spiritual hospital. We take people of any nation, of any race. It doesn't matter. People who are in need. People who are wounded. We take them in. Now, can you give me some examples of wounds that the devil inflicted on us?
Let's say you find a person sleeping on the street. The devil tells you, don't help them, they're fine. They just need to find their own way. But we shouldn't do that.
We should help them. Are we ready to receive homeless people into the church?
Yes.
Are we?
That's his character. Our character tells us.
Yes. What else? What are the, you know, tell me about some other wounds that people have, you know, that have to be healed. Very good. If their feelings were hurt or if their body hurts. Yes, you could be really, really rich, but really sad.
This is not something like really help the other thing, but it's something close to it. So your parents say, go do your math homework, and then like the devil tells you, don't do it, play with your cousins. And then like you go get your cousin, then you distract them.
Yes. But we are talking about wounds, you know, sufferings of the people.
Let's say a guy gets bullied at recess and gets shoved under the slide. What do you do? Do you just be a bystander, or do you go out and take the bully, or do you go take the victim out of
very good.
The slide?
Very good example. Very good example, you know. What else?
I have the choice to be rich
Okay, Gladys said that if she had the chance, you know, to choose between being rich and being happy, she would choose to be happy. Very good choice, Gladys. Very good choice.
Because rich equals poor in the church.
Yes, but you know, we are talking now about sicknesses and about people who need healing. And as you said, today's parable teaches us to try to help anybody, regardless of their race, regardless of their social status or whatever, and to bring them into the church and to take care of them, to look after them, until the second coming of the Lord. That's why he says, you know, until I come again, until the second coming of the Lord, the church is to look after all the sick people, all those who need healing. Thank you very much. Christ is among us.
He is now shouting.
God faithful, today we also celebrate, we commemorate St. John Chrysostom. Today on November 13th, and this year it happened to fall on a Sunday, we commemorate St. John Chrysostom, a beloved holy father of the church, who lived from the middle of the 3rd century, from the middle of the 4th century until the beginning of the 5th century. He died in 407. And this saint remained in the memory of the church because he was exactly the type of person that, you know, we are told that the church is called, you know, to be for the world. Like, they say that the role of the church is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comforted. And this is what St. John Chrysostom did. He became a bishop in Antioch, and he was a very gifted preacher, and he became very popular among the people because he really comforted the afflicted. And then, against his will, he became bishop of Constantinople. And he moved from Antioch to Constantinople, and in Constantinople, his role obviously was to afflict the comforted. Because the church in Constantinople was a church with a lot of comfort. Because the emperor was there, and the empress Eudoxia, she loved riches and you know, and any kind of festivities. And St. John Chrysostom started to preach against that. He started to preach against even against the wealth of the church, and he started to ask the people to look after the poor and forget about themselves and about their pleasures and desires. Now, that didn't go very well. Especially the empress didn't like that, and she convinced the emperor to exile St. John Chrysostom. He was exiled once, he was brought back. He came back, and he was the same person. He didn't change his mind. He preached again, this time even more directly against the empress, and he compared her with Herodia, and that, like Herodia, she wants again the head of John on a silver tray. And that was basically the end of his ministry in Constantinople, because this time they wanted him out for good. And they gave orders to the soldiers to exile him to nowadays Georgia, and they told the soldiers, you know, don't put him in a carriage, don't put him on a horse, and he was an old man by now, just have him walk until he dies. And that's what happened. He died on the way to his exile because they marched him to death. But he marched towards Christ. And they say that the last words that St. John Chrysostom said before he closed his eyes were, "Glory to God for all things." Now, beloved faithful, on this Sunday, let us try now to ask ourselves, are we a church of comfort or a church of the afflicted? What is more important to us? What do we expect of our church, of our own community? Do we want our community, when we come to church, do we want to find peace and comfort for ourselves, or do we want to be the inn that takes in the afflicted? You know, it's not easy to be a church of the afflicted. It is not easy to open up the doors of the church and to forget about ourselves and to offer ourselves to the world around us. I told you before that I really believe that we are a very welcoming community. We are. We really are a very welcoming community. But we have to ask ourselves, what could we do to become even more welcoming? Because this is the reality. Love never ends. The more loving you are, the more realize that you are not that loving. Just a question today, because it happened to have the parable of the Good Samaritan and St. John Chrysostom on the same Sunday. Let us ask ourselves, what could we do as a church community to be an even more welcoming church, to be really a church that welcomes any nation, any person, regardless of his or her condition, regardless of his or her ethnicity, regardless of anything, just because we want to be the church of Christ. And we want to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comforted. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.